BB's been doing these intros with me, but she stayed the night at her aunt's house last night. So I called her on the phone and we attempted to make an intro remotely through her cell phone. Enjoy.
Hey, hello. You have found the San Carlos Computer Club podcast. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
And I'm Viviana Simpson, his daughter.
BB's not with me right now. You noticed she wasn't in the meeting if you saw the YouTube this morning.
Well, I had plans.
That's why I'm talking to you on the phone, my tech whiz
Yeah.
kid daughter. Well, what great advice can you give to us today?
Silence. Well, that was the sound of my eyes rolling, if you were wondering.
It was really lo-fi coming across your cell phone.
Yeah.
So, B, we've got a project we're working on. What is it we're working on?
Podcast.
A podcast about what?
Anime.
Anime. And people can look forward to it. Probably not the demographic the Computer Club goes out to, but we will be talking about animes together.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's quite a bit of banter for not a lot of content. So happy to have you along on this journey of self-discovery in the podcast world. BB, do you have anything you want to add?
Not really.
I feel like there's got to be something else to this. What else do we have to add to it, BB?
I don't know.
Tack on.
Heck on.
I love you, baby. Talk to you soon.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It says Android TV. Peacock is supported on a variety of Android TV enabled smart TVs, Apple TV, Chromecast, LG Smart TV, PlayStation 4, and Vizio TV and Xbox One.
Yeah, not available on Samsung.
Right. It doesn't
But
say any.
they probably don't have an agreement with them yet.
I've got an Xbox One. I should try that.
That's what it says. You can connect it that way. This is on their
Oh.
web page that says what
Hey,
devices.
I'm hitting the go live button right now in case you guys
Okay.
are curious. And let me just do a quick formal introduction. Hello, everybody. I am Scott Stimson, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Saturday at 9 in the morning to discuss tech topics and try and solve our own problems and to share news with each other and to see each other's smiling faces without masks on. Welcome, welcome, one and all. I'm so happy you could join us this morning. In typical fashion, we're not that well organized, and we've been chatting for just a few, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes on different random topics. I have brought a couple of topics that I thought would be interesting, and I'm interested in any topics that you guys might have brought to the conversation. Right now, we're discussing Peacock and the fact that I don't know that's a free service. And we've brought it up in Mexico under a VPN that's running on Opera. However, it won't let us actually run the video, but I suspect if I had a real VPN, like an ExpressVPN, no endorsement on my side here, just it's one that popped into my head, it may work. But I haven't been able to make it work in the browser. Linda, you were saying that you aren't able to get the app to work, but you're able to get the browser to work. The app's telling you that you are not in the right region, even though you're definitely in the United States. Hey, can you get NBC in your local area?
Yes.
Like, you can turn on a TV and tune in NBC. It would be a very interesting feat if they were able to deny you Peacock because you're not in an area that gets NBC.
Well, I have IPTV box
Sure.
and it has NBC everything in it.
But what I'm describing is your local area. You're connected to an internet in your local area. And if you can you turn on a TV set and get an HDTV signal of NBC?
No.
So I wonder if that's what's determining your region.
Because when you turn it on like that, it ask tells you need cable TV. I don't have cable TV.
Interesting.
Now I have in the kitchen, I bought one of those antennas.
Yeah, the HDTV antennas.
Yeah, it works really good, but I haven't, it doesn't show that you can get Peacock on it.
I just downloaded the app for Peacock TV on my iPad, and I'm looking at channels, and I'm going to click on the, and I'm getting the Today Show.
It's working for you in Colorado. Yes. Using the app on your iPad. The only thing that's not working, Judy, is we can't see your pretty face.
I know. I got it shut off because I was watching the other one.
Hey, you know, another thing that you should have if you've got the new iOS is you should have picture in picture. You should be able to watch that and surf web pages at the same time.
My picture is very, very...
It's horrible.
Now, so
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go back to and log out of Peacock because that's the difference right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the only thing that I've changed. So let's see if it works differently.
Okay, Judy, do you have good internet where you are?
I do. I have fiber optics.
Look at that. Judy, your picture came back much clearer now that you've turned that off. You're doing that on an iPad, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, are you on the iPad right now?
Yes, I am.
Now your picture's really good right now, and it was all fuzzy and everything before.
When you were logged into Peacock.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's really interesting. Of course, it might be an indicator of the high quality Today Show you were watching. Maybe you're in 4K.
Could be. But my internet has been very weird for the last few days. I don't know whether it's, I don't know what it is, but it's like Firefox has been very, very weird. Safari has not been quite as weird as Firefox, but.
Well,
and then Chrome has been okay.
When you assign problems to applications like that, what kind of things are they doing? Like, what's Firefox doing?
It won't load something, but yet if I switch over to a different browser, it'll load right up.
You know, one of the things I know that's been going on with these browsers is they've been integrating their own DNS systems in them, and it seems
and I was on that, on Firefox, the one that's hide where you are part, so maybe that was it.
Okay. Well, it's just one other aspect that would be a difference between browsers is that each one of them now is using their own secure DNS solutions or trying to. They're either on by default. I think with Firefox, it's on by default. You have to turn it off if you want to use your own DNS.
Actually, Firefox has this little mask, and if you click on it, it turns everything kind of purple, and then you... that's when it's not supposed to be tracking you.
Okay, but this is kind of a different thing. What you're talking about is also a feature, but it seems like I'm trying to look it up right now because I'm just, you know, talking off the cuff. But it seems like, for to enable, that's a DNS over HTTPS. And what that is it's encrypted lookups. So when you type in something like CNN.com or you click on a link that says NewYorkTimes.com, when your computer goes to look up what the number of the computer you want to connect to is, what CNN.com's actual physical number is, you're no longer using Prodigy or Comcast to do that lookup. You're using a secure encrypted channel to a DNS of Firefox's choosing.
Oh.
And this is new as of the last year. It seems like year, maybe 2 years, they've been playing with this idea. And it started out as an option that tech people became aware of that you were able to turn on for yourself. And I think Firefox is one of the first browsers that forced it to be on. And if you didn't want it, you had to turn it off. And so they've had growing pains with this service where things wouldn't work. And that's why if you switched over to another browser, all of a sudden they would work because they that.
Well, what's the advantage?
Well, the big advantage is that your local ISP is not collecting data on you. The for you, Judy, or me, Scott, that's the big advantage. The big advantage is Telmex isn't able to collect information on where I'm going on the internet. But most of that information is only being used for selling. So what they do is they collect it in aggregate. They know their market. They're like, my market in the San Carlos area, they know it's a gringo market. They know there's a lot of Amazon. They know there's a lot of PayPal. They know all that. And they can sell that to advertisers so that when we're going to services, when we go from our local area to services out on the internet, those services are buying advertising, or they're selling advertising space. That's a better way to put it. They're selling advertising space on their services, and it's better directed to us.
Oh, okay.
So, like, obviously, I'm a comic book fan. I go to comic book websites. I may be on Amazon.mx trying to buy something, a present for my wife, and in the sidebar, I might be getting comic book ads. And those ads were presented to me because Prodigy was keeping track of where I go and selling that demographic to advertisers. It's more or less the concept.
And that happens instantaneously because I can look at something on some web page, and the next time I log into Facebook, there's that ad.
Yes. Well, there's some of that's done with cookies locally with what you're doing, but this is the latest way to aggregate marketing data, is to collect the DNS lookup, assign that to geographic locations and demographics, and then sell that to marketers. So that's about the biggest way it affects us. We are not the kind of people I think need to be spied on, but that's what it's also used for. Is if there was a political person that's doing things on the internet, then his traffic on the internet would be valuable. A corporate person, that information would be valuable. And so hackers would want to get a hold of that information. So from a personal privacy and security perspective, it would be better to move all that to an encrypted server. At the very least, it's way over on that side of the geographic fence. At the same time, though, somebody's got access to that information. When you encrypt your DNS lookups, everyone between here and that server doesn't know what you're doing, but that server has the ability to know what you're doing. And if it can be associated with you, then there's no security there. And so what it does create are these watering holes that are these areas where it's well known these encrypted channels drop off. They drop into the internet. And so it creates an incentive for hackers to sit at these watering holes and skim off data, try and get access to that data. Because before they didn't know specifically where you were, but because it's a VPN or it's one of these drop points, then they know everyone going in there's data. If you follow what I mean, it's almost less anonymous, because if they know you're using a VPN like an ExpressVPN, they can hang out on the servers at the end of the ExpressVPN and look for your traffic there. That's a convoluted, digressed conversation about why your browsers might work differently. Hello, Sid. Hello, Irving. Welcome
Good
to
morning.
The meeting.
Hey, how's it going?
Happy to have you guys with us. We're just talking about Judy's internet experiences recently. If you guys want the experience that I'm trying to project, you're welcome to pin me as the main talker, and as people come forward, I'll put them forward.
I don't have the option this week to pin you.
Really? There's no way. You're so if you hover over me, you don't get a pin.
I don't see you.
You don't see me.
No.
Yeah, I'm just seeing myself.
You're just,
I have the
well, make sure yourself isn't pinned, Linda. Like, I can pin myself too. This is me pinned.
Okay, I have a report on Peacock TV.
Oh, excellent. Let's hear
about
it.
All right, now, I just downloaded it onto my Samsung tablet.
Yeah, okay. And it's running?
Okay, it acts differently than when you... when you just go to the web page on the internet.
What happened?
I would expect that because it's an app versus a web page.
Right. On the web page, I like clicked on.
Hi, Mom.
So, what's her name? Did you, what did you do for
you? Is that, Linda, is that your TV in the background you're listening to?
No. I don't have my TV on.
I hear a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I have somebody talking in the background.
No, I have nothing here.
Stanley, have you got somebody talking behind you? I see your microphone's open.
No.
That's really strange. It's not me, is it? I don't have anything running. No.
I just got a text message on my Bluetooth hearing aid, but I don't think you heard that.
It's gone away now. It's gone away now. Well, so Linda, what you're reporting is that it's working on the Samsung tablet from the Google Play Store in the United States, and it's for free.
Perfect. But it acts differently than the app just going to Peacock TV on the computer.
This is a real shot across the bow to all these streaming services. If you're able to use this for free, this is a huge catalog of NBC and Universal content that they're just putting out there for free. They've got to be planning on charging for it in the future, or at least putting advertising across it.
Well, okay, Peacock TV, if you pay for it,
yes,
you're getting live TV.
Live TV.
If you're getting the free one, you get it the day after.
But are you getting advertising with it?
I haven't really watched anything yet. Well, I was going to start watching. I like American Greed, so the stuff that's on CNBC is also on here.
Yeah, this is just a huge catalog. Oh, here we go. Okay, so here is, I don't know if you're looking at my screen, but here's a line. There's a feather next to it, a kind of a bluish purplish feather, marking that these are premium content. So you'd have to upgrade to watch these.
Correct. Or you can buy it by the show, I think. I'm not positive about that. Can you filter it so you only see free?
That's on the web. Well, it looks like they're advertising their premium service within their free service. It's kind of the way that you think about Amazon Prime working, where they've included everything. The free Prime content, as well as their premium content, as well as their partners' contents like HBO, they've just stuck it all together. Like,
right.
Here's 30 Rock award winners category. 30 Rock's here. I think it's free. The Affair is right next to it with a bluish feather next to it, indicating that it's premium. Battlestar Galactica is not premium, so they've made a mistake, because it is. Well, it's interesting, Linda. I'm hoping you'll give us an update next week on your experience using this service. Unless I get an actual VPN, I'm not going to be able to take advantage of this.
Yeah, well, I haven't tried it in Mexico, so we just need someone in Mexico to try it.
That's right. Is there anybody in this group that's in Mexico right now except for me? Damn it. I might have to be the one that tries it.
Well, I have a VPN in Mexico.
I don't actually subscribe to a regular VPN in Mexico. The most I ever use is Opera's. But I know a couple of customers that subscribe to VPN. Yeah, I think even Maggie's still subscribing to a VPN.
I subscribe to VPN, and I have a lifetime subscription that I only paid like $39 for.
Well, and that's sweet.
Huh?
That's sweet. You know what I just thought of while you're talking about that? I wonder if SmartDNS Proxy has gotten itself set up for Peacock. Because that's a service a lot of people are using. Don't they have... They typically have a list here. There it is, NBC. Well, it doesn't say Peacock. It says NBC. For all supported services.
How about we get a privacy browser?
Say that again? You're talking
about the privacy browser.
Are you saying like the Brave browser or the DuckDuckGo browser?
No, Epic. Remember we discussed that in...
I mean, they're all based on Chrome. I don't even have the Epic browser. You know what? I don't think the Epic browser is a thing anymore.
Oh, let me see. I'll click on it right now.
Epic browser privacy. Oh, well, here's the official site. Oh, yeah. I was thinking it had gotten morphed into another browser, but I guess it's here. Do they have a Windows version, though? There it is. I found the Windows version.
This says, please note, to provide more flexibility, some key Epic functionality such as built-in VPN, encrypted proxy, and ad blocker are user controlled now and should be added via the Epic extension store.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a way to do it. So basically, it's another version of Chrome. And they've stripped out the privacy so that third parties can put it back in. They've stripped out things like VPNs and ad blockers that they were putting in themselves. They were making them features of the browser, and now they've pulled them out and said those features should be put in by third parties, by extensions. Well, I think that's all very interesting, but I think we need a real VPN to test it. And I don't have one at the moment. But I am looking on SmartDNS Proxy, and it says NBC.com, but it doesn't, I don't see Peacock on it specifically. NBC Sports, MSNBC, let me just do a search for Peacock. There it is, Peacock TV. So SmartDNS Proxy is supporting it. So that's good to know. There's probably, I don't know, are a few of you still using SmartDNS Proxy? If you're in Mexico, it looks like this would immediately be able to work for you.
You need to get Maggie on here.
We do. She's the one that's been regularly using that software. I've recommended it a couple of different times. It's been very successful for different customers. I've just never bothered to incur the monthly fee for it.
Well, you know what? If you get the Keep Solid VPN, it you can get it as a lifetime, or you can get it a 1 year really cheap, way cheaper than these other guys.
What is it called?
Keep Solid VPN.
Keep Solid VPN.
VPN Unlimited. Yeah.
Let's take a look here. Keep Solid VPN.
I've been using it ever since I lived in Mexico, and that's 11 years.
So did Epic Browser not work?
Well, Epic Browser, I went ahead and installed it while we were talking. And what I've ended up with is a browser page here saying, please note, to provide more flexibility, some key Epic functions such as our built-in VPN, encrypted proxy, and ad blocking are user-controlled now and should be added by the Epic Extension Store. So, I mean, what reading between the lines, what that means is all these features. Hey, Maggie. All these features that we had, some of us had become accustomed to going to in Epic, are no longer in Epic. And what Epic is doing is curating a store where they're pushing third-party extensions to do those jobs. So I would imagine their whole thing is vetting good software. If you're still looking at my screen, you'll see I went to the Epic store, and it's given me a list of what they recommend. This isn't like all the extensions that exist out here. These are just the ones Epic recommends. And so there's a VPN service here.
Oh.
Ad blocker here.
On
Epic?
No, I put it on my Keep Solid, and it Peacock came up.
Okay, but you're in the United States.
Yeah.
Forget about geo-blocking for a whole decade. 10 years of smart DNS for $50. That's the Keep Solid deal now.
Well, I don't have DNS, but you could do the DNS.
Well, I'm on keepsolid.com. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but I just do the VPN.
The VPN Unlimited.
So yeah. What's the difference? What are they talking about when they say DNS?
Oh, well, this is kind of what we've talked about before with Smart DNS Proxy.
Mm-hmm.
So we got into this discussion because we were talking about the different ways that your browser works, Judy, where...
Right.
DNS is built into the browser. And so that's really what it's exact same concept is
okay.
That you're changing where your DNS lookups are going. And that works for services like Netflix or Hulu because this takes it a step farther. When you ask for those services through a DNS proxy, the proxy the DNS does not immediately direct you to those services. So you send out a message saying, I want to go to CNN.com. It goes straight to a standard DNS. It looks up CNN.com. It sends you back the web page. You ask the DNS for Netflix.com. It sees it's Netflix and goes, wait, they're somewhere else, and they want Netflix in the United States. So instead of directing you to Netflix.com to get a message saying you're outside the region or you're in the Mexican region, here's the Mexican catalog, your proxy server redirects you to a server they control, and they do all the Netflix stuff from that server and shoot it over to you on the internet. So it redirects your traffic through one of their servers in the United States. So you appear as though you're going to Netflix from the United States.
The reason I ask that is that T-Mobile in some locations is offering internet service somehow, but one of their options is DNS. So it says DNS, Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi. Those are the options. I can't get it in my area, but it's available on Whidbey Island for Phyllis.
I'm not sure what the DNS would be that they are offering, because if they're offering anything, they're still your internet provider. So if they're offering you DNS, they're offering maybe anywhere that you take your service, they'll run your DNS as though you're in the United States on T-Mobile. Maybe that's it.
I don't know.
I'm speculating. I have no idea what T-Mobile.
It's the $50 a month for their internet service.
Huh.
And then whatever it is for your phone, but they somehow work together. But I can't get it here, so I don't know what it is. And I haven't looked yet, so.
I'm not sure what the T-Mobile DNS would be talking about. But these DNS services are intended to get you to your services when you're outside of the region. So you watch Amazon Prime, or you can watch Netflix, or you can use Peacock TV. And The advantage that has over using a VPN is that a VPN directs all your traffic to that endpoint. So you have a VPN to the United States. Everything that you do on the internet goes out that channel. Whereas the DNS, the smart DNS proxy, what that does is only the services that they're guaranteeing you go through that channel. Everything else is just out on the internet.
Okay.
Hey, Fred.
Hello, hey, Fred.
So I heard you moved, Fred.
Fred, we can't hear you. You got your microphone muted. Like a good member entering the meeting late. But we can't hear what you're saying.
There we are.
Excellent.
Hey, yeah, Fred, I heard you move.
Yes.
So you moved.
Here, you want to see out my windows?
Sure.
Ocean.
Where are you?
Washington.
Oh, nice.
That's a river about 30 feet from my door.
Nice.
Now I'm close enough to the ocean that the tide goes up and down on the river.
Oh, that's great. In Washington, are you near the gorge?
No, he's by the Columbia River.
I'm sorry? Oh, the Columbia River?
Yeah, he's down at the bottom of Washington, between Washington and Oregon.
Ah, okay.
But I'm not on the Columbia.
Huh?
I'm on the Wacapa. I'm on the Wacapa River, not Columbia.
Oh,
I thought you were on the Columbia.
No, can't afford that.
Wacapa. Where's that located in Washington?
I'm 48 miles north of Oregon, and to get to Portland, I'm about 2 hours. To get to Seattle, I'm another 2 hours. I've got a kid that lives in Portland, one that lives in Seattle.
Is that on, so, are you off of I-5 then? I-5?
No, I'm not. I'm way, I-5's 60 miles east of me.
I don't know where you are. You are lost.
Oh, what town are you in?
What county?
What town?
It's Pacific. What town? South Bend.
Oh, you're in
Bend.
Bend. Nice.
Bend. Very nice.
Okay. Oh,
love Bend.
It is. Yeah, it's a little tiny town. They're playing.
I have a question. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's a little tiny town of 1,000 people, and their claim to fame is they provide 95% of the oysters eaten in the United States.
Yeah. Very nice. Hey, Scott, can you watch Amazon Prime down there?
Well,
Yes, I can. But I've got a Mexican Prime account. So I have access to Mexican Prime, and it's a similar deal as like your Mexican Netflix. What's different is that they geofence accounts. Like if I have an American Prime account down here, I'm only allowed to watch the content that's available to Prime members from the United States internationally. And that's a very small catalog. Whereas in Mexico, because I pay for Mexican Prime, there's a much larger catalog, very similar to the U.S. catalog, that we're very happy with. And we watch lots of content from Prime.
So you're saying then, in essence, I'm going to have to cancel my U.S. Prime account and get a Mexican Prime account to watch
Prime.
The shows that I'm normally watching.
Yeah, and Netflix, there's the chance some of the shows you're watching are not available.
Right.
And there's the chance some shows are available that aren't in the States. I'm sorry, Judy, go ahead.
Get Masterpiece Theater?
No.
I don't know.
Judy,
yes.
I have Mexican Prime, and I'm getting it in the U.S., and you got to believe it, it's $45 a year.
It is That's a great it. Price right. for Prime.
But I'm watching Poldark right now, so that's on Masterpiece Theater.
Well, while you're talking, I am going to my Prime install. Let me see here. I'm on my Android TV right now.
Okay.
It's the same screen as I see your lovely faces, so I can't see you right now because I switched over to a different input. So you can all make rude gestures to me right now. I won't even know it unless I review the video.
Okay.
The problem is...
What was that, Fred?
Oh, the problem, I tried to get Mexican Prime, and unless you got a Mexican credit card, they won't let you get it.
That's true. I dealt with that as well. I did it with a Mexican debit card, my Cbanco card.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Yeah, and then I immediately removed it so that I could pay for it using my credit card. I used my U.S. credit card that was in Prime from the U.S. side of things, but I had to use my Cbanco card to verify I had a Mexican payment method.
Oh, okay.
Okay, after the first year, I've used my American credit card now.
Yeah, I use my American credit card for everything. I didn't even take the original fee didn't even come out of my bank in Mexico. I'm looking at the catalog on my Chinese TV Android box and forgetting that I can't easily search for Masterpiece Theater. Because it crashes every time I go on a search.
All right, I'll turn my TV on and see if I can find it, okay?
Well, we need to see if it works in Mexico. Because, yeah, it's a very interesting question, but I'm not in a position to answer it because this equipment is not working correctly for me.
Yes.
Hey, I've got two topics that I thought you guys would find interesting. One topic, if you guys are ready for something completely new. I don't know if you are fans of podcasts. You know I'm a big podcast listener. And one of the things about podcasts is you don't have to be somebody that listens to podcasts. They're typically out on the internet on a web page for you to listen to individually. So you don't have to get into podcast software or subscribing to a podcast to hear something I might recommend. And what I'm going to recommend is a podcast I heard just recently from one of my favorite producers, radio. Oh, I have it right in front of me. Let me get it in front of me. Radio Lab. I don't know if you've heard of Radio Lab. They do all kinds of really well, heavily produced audio content. And I'll put a link in today's meeting for a podcast, for a Radio Lab episode called The Wooby Effect. And I think this is really interesting to listen to. It's basically the history of the Chinese computer keyboard and how the struggle to put Chinese characters into a quirky keyboard became this social battle of what was going to happen to the Chinese language. And now, after solving that, how it's going to directly affect us with their ability to input information. And it's gone from the ability to build Chinese glyph character sets from a typewriter, which was extremely slow back in the day when they started making typewriters. They talk about how it was 40% slower than your standard quirky character set that we were using in the United States. So they had to rethink the whole way they were typing on a keyboard for a computer, to the extent where they had movements in their country saying they had to get rid of their character set and adopt something like an Esperanto or an English or a Spanish or a French character set to be able to go into the digital age, to a very sophisticated somebody that gets credit in China the same way Steve Jobs gets credit in the United States for coming up with this ability to produce Chinese characters using a keyboard. And it changed this whole cultural movement of giving up but leaning back into their character set because they found a way to do it. And now this podcast ends with them talking about they're doing 200 words a minute using this methodology, this Wooby methodology that he came up with. And they also, I mean, this, if you ever listen to Radiolab, it's kind of like listening to me at times because it takes this standard theme and then has all these digressions popping off. And one of the digressions that I found fascinating that was right at the end of this podcast is where we are right now. And how it's directly tied to Wooby in the way that it would produce and suggest character sets to a computer keyboard. We're doing this now in a global cloud, and how that's going to affect our global community. And what's very interesting about how you use keyboards, all our keyboards we use now are fairly virtual, and they're run through a global cloud service. And when you start to type characters, when words pop up as suggestions for you, those words are no longer the most common words that you might use to type. And they're no longer your dictionary of common words that you might use, but they're actually the common words being used out in the cloud, out on the internet. So you're in a Word document and you're typing on your phone or your tablet, and you start to type a couple of characters, there's a very good chance that Kim Kardashian's name might pop up. Or some artist that's in the news that you've, or Putin, or Trump. You type in TR, and all of a sudden the name Trump is coming up because in the global conversation, that's what's being found. People are typing about this character, and so it's being suggested to you. And they talk about how the suggestion of words in dialogue are being produced for you kind of the same way you might have a co-author. So you might have somebody sitting over your shoulder looking at what you're typing saying a good word might be this, a good word might be this. And it's happening virtually. You have the like this global cloud co-author deciding the things that are important to you. I found it fascinating. I'll put a link in the meeting for today if you guys are interested in taking a look at this thing. It's about an hour long, if I remember right. But it's totally worth it. And you can go to this webpage and just click listen and start listening to it. I'm a big fan of Radiolab, so it's one I subscribe to. About once every 2 weeks or once a month, they have a new, and they're highly produced. They have sound effects going on in the background. They do long interviews with people and cut just the gold from those interviews. And when they're trying to make a point and their interviewer, it's not very interesting to listen to, they'll run it in the background and then they'll explain what that interview really resulted in. Have any of you had any experience with this history? I'm just amazed at how the way the Chinese had to figure out how to get onto computers is shaping our technology as we go forward right now.
Isn't that so much similar to when you start a search on Google and you put in a letter or two, then all kind of suggestions pop up?
That's exactly what we're talking about, Chester. Yeah. It's exactly that. It's like the Google suggested search is being used for your keyboard in all these different aspects.
I find it handy. I like that.
Yeah, no, it really helps out, but there's this cultural bias now in what maybe chose for the dialogues we're typing because of the words that are being suggested aren't being pulled from a thesaurus or a dictionary, but they're being pulled from our culture and the words that we share out there online. So a word that you may never have used before, Chester, say like with my example, you're writing a document in Word, and a word being suggested to you may be a word you've never used before or even thought of, but it's being suggested to you because it's been pulled out of the menu of our culture.
Well, I'm not sure I'd recognize it.
Well, I found it fascinating. I thought you guys might be interested in it. And that's one of the topics that I've brought to the table. I don't think I've fascinated you. I see Jim's with us now. But I do have another topic that I thought might fascinate you. And that is there is an article out there that is the best Photoshop alternatives for Chromebooks. And I think this is an interesting topic. I've passed it on to my kids. They use Chromebooks. I think it's amazing you can do Photoshop type things on a Chromebook. I mean, we really are talking about computers that sell between $300 and $600 on average. There are some really expensive Chromebooks out there, but, I mean, we think of them as budget for school devices. But you may not find all these different options interesting, but the one that I find interesting is Photopea. And this I've actually heard of from a different source. This is a Photoshop style editor that was developed by one guy in college that wanted to be able to do Photoshop-type things on his Chromebook. He's a very young guy and has put together this very sophisticated, I don't know if you can see my screen, version of Photoshop. And the reason I thought you'd be interested in looking at it is it's in the web browser. And if you're looking at my screen, you're seeing me start a new project using Photopea from templates, all in the web browser. And what I liked about it is it was really straightforward. Here's an example. It's got a a wheat stock on it. Is this real life? It's got some text that's already in there. It's already formatted. And I can do things like just click right in there and start typing.
Scott?
Are you saying photo PS? Like
photo PEA, like P, like a vegetable.
Got you.
.com. And I'm immediately able to start developing a Photoshop style photo. Mom,
Scott,
yeah, go ahead. What was your question, Mom?
It's not a question. I'm wondering if you can put that full screen because I'm having trouble seeing your little computer in the little box.
Ah, okay. Hold on a second. Let me do a presentation. Oh, here we go.
He's gone.
I'm here.
No.
Okay, give it a second. This should show up.
Okay.
Can you see my screen now?
Yes, I can. I hope it helps others.
Yeah, let me open this up again. This is photo. P as in Paul, E as in Edward, A as in, Albert, .com. And
Echo, it's Echo.
Echo, Alpha, that's what it is. So I'm ready to go right now. I can start a new project. I have not had to sign up for anything, though they have accounts. You can sign up for an account. I can just immediately start working. It's got templates here. So if you really wanted to make something look pretty real quick without giving it a lot of thought, this looks like a great way to do it. You can grab a template. Here, I'll grab a background template. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. And so it's already got a background on it, but I could change that. You can see on the side here, there's a lot of Photoshop tools here. There's brushes for painting.
Can you get rid of those words?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, is those are just a text object. So I'm able to click on them and start editing them. Let me make sure I'm able to do that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I can. Hold on a second.
So you can take the words off and just put in a picture?
There we go. I was in the wrong layer. It's too sophisticated for me. Let me do that. I got to do this and do this. And there we go. Now I'm clicking in the words. Or I was clicking in the words.
So you could put happy birthday in there?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely need to spend more time on this. Let me open up that template again, because I started trying to edit it with a paintbrush, and it's left me in an odd mode. And so I'm going to just reload it again, because that's essentially the test I was doing on this software before, was I was opening up a template from the templates here.
Yes.
And
does it run iOS as well?
It's in a web page. I expect it to work across any web browser. But you're right, it should be tested on iOS. iOS is definitely a little different. You've got the Safari browser. But here's a Hello World. And I just clicked on Hello World, and I can... Hello, Computer Club. And it's
even
got...
The icons are similar to Photoshop.
Yeah, that's what really impressed me, is it's pretty straightforward. If you've spent any time in Photoshop, it looks like you can navigate this very easily.
Is this available on a PC?
It's available through a web browser. And so I'm certain that if you're able to bring up a web browser, you're going to be able to bring this up. And the exception is probably iOS.
No, it does work.
Oh, good. So it's working on your tablet.
Yes. But I would have to figure out how to edit all this stuff, but yeah.
This guy has put this thing together all by himself, has gotten global recognition for it. They've tried to buy it from him. He still hasn't sold it from what I heard. I mean, I wasn't even aware of him. I don't have his name on the tip of my tongue. But I was listening to a podcast that was talking about what he's done with this. And now he wants to do a similar project that would be a video editor. It'd be like Adobe Premiere, but it'd be free and it'd be on the web. I think he's making money just off of this advertising on the right side.
I think it looks like he's lifted a lot of ideas from Photoshop, because the little icon, little symbols on the left-hand side are all very familiar. Everything is just really familiar.
Well, And there's so many of us that would not bother with a Photoshop creative account.
Well, it's expensive too.
Yeah.
It is very expensive.
Yeah.
And at the same time, those same people every once in a while want to put words on top of a picture, or they mm-hmm. They want to crop a picture and maybe put two or three pictures together. I mean, if you have Photoshop experience, this seems like a really great free way to get it done from any computer.
Quick and fast, yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as our meeting is over, I'm going to see if I can get it on my PC.
Me too, Twister.
They have a YouTube for it.
Say that again. I'm going to turn off my presentation here unless you guys want me to. I mean, like, it looks like a progressive web app. It looks like it's been built. Let's see if I can do this.
It looks like they have a YouTube app.
What is that?
A YouTube video for it.
You mean just like an introduction to it?
Yeah, it says how to use it on YouTube.
Oh. Is that when you first get into the program?
No, I just Googled it.
Oh, okay. Well, that isn't YouTube our instructions for everything? That's how I changed the radiator in my car.
It says Photo P for Beginners, how to get started editing photos.
Wow.
It also looks like it imports Photoshop files. So if you've already got a project going, it imports GIMP files. That's the editor I use, because I don't like to buy Photoshop. So I use free.
It says how to use Photoshop online for free, Photo P.
Yeah.
On a YouTube.
It's not Photoshop. It's just based on the idea of Photoshop.
Look at that on the right, all the things, the mock-up, the logos, all of that works instant.
Now, this is an ad for something right here.
Okay, so they call it a Photoshop clone.
Right, that's what it is. But here, Mom, I'm opening up a project, and it is opened up with these templates.
Yep.
The templates modify for the size. Here's a Twitter profile. So this is very interesting too. Like, I've always had to look up things like what size is the appropriate profile picture for the YouTube profile or for the Twitter profile. And they've set these sizes. Facebook event image, Facebook shared image, Facebook cover image.
Wow, that's really nice.
That's helpful just for a reference. I would write those numbers down or take a screenshot so I don't have to Google them.
Is that how you did it? Is Google or is it right there?
Yeah, what I normally do, like if I had to put a profile picture, like a business profile picture on a business Facebook page, I would go to Google and say, what's the most appropriate dimensions for a page for a profile picture? Here it's got templates for mobiles. Like, an iPhone 5, an iPhone X. They've got all the dimensions just here in, just for convenience sake.
More competition for us photographers. I'm finding amateur photographers are really good now. And that's all off their iPhones. It's amazing.
Well, and you know, Mom, a lot of that is that the iPhone software has become so sophisticated, it makes all these adjustments to the photo. I always think about it, if you're looking at, I'm going to stop presenting now. If you're looking at, hello, people, I'm back.
Yeah.
If you're looking at a photo and you're going, oh, well, I'd like to lighten that area there, I'd like to sharpen that area there. Well, the iPhone software has gotten more sophisticated now, so it's making those kinds of judgments for you before you've even looked at the picture. They're going, oh, gosh, the software is going, that should be light right there, that should be sharp right there. It's been attuned to make those kinds of adjustments, so the picture you get isn't actually what was shined on the sensor, but it's been digitally enhanced before you've even looked at it.
Yes.
Very cool stuff. So I'll put a link to this article because I find it interesting, all these different Photoshop clones that are available for Chromebooks. But I'll also put a link specifically to Photopedia, which most of you have already found just through our discussion right now. And the Wooby effect. I think this is great history on the keyboard, the Chinese, their introduction to digital, and how it's affected their culture and how they've moved forward. We actually went through a period of time where they may have given up on the Chinese character set specifically because of the digital information revolution in the United States, because they had to keep up and they hadn't found a way to keep up. And so they were looking at changing the way that they would do their characters specifically because of the digital revolution. So I recommend both those things. And those are my topics for Computer Club today.
So can I remind you, Scott, that you're going to see for next week, if you can get Poldark, P-O-L-D-A-R-K.
Here,
it's a mass theater.
Poldark.
And it's on Amazon.
Amazon in Mexico.
Oh, wait. Maybe it's not on Amazon. No, it's on Prime Video. Yeah.
Okay. Under Masterpiece Theater, right?
Yes.
I wish I had an installation right here ready to go. I will make that a priority, too, because we should be able to answer these questions on the fly.
Yeah. Does your Mexican Prime catalog include like Masterpiece Theater things?
Included. Yeah. Is it included? I'm putting that on my question list.
And Linda, you were going to check to see if your Amazon Prime Mexico worked and you could get it up here too.
Okay. I just turned it on. I saw 5 masterpieces, but not that one.
Not Poldark.
No.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
I'll go look at it a little better and see if it comes up something else.
Okay. Hey, and I see Maggie's online. Hey, Maggie. Are you there? We have.
No, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you in Mexico right now?
I am. I'm leaving in the morning.
You are. So we have something for you to try. Are you still using the Smart DNS?
Yes.
So we'd like you to try using the new Peacock TV using Smart DNS. You'll have to sign up for an account. We were playing with it this morning, but it's free. And it's a huge catalog of NBC Universal movies and TV shows available for free right now on the internet. You just need to sign up for an account. Mom, you, everybody in the States could be taking advantage of this right now. You just have to sign up for an account. They have a premium version, and we saw as we were going through the list that there is premium content. They flag premium content, but there's a huge catalog of stuff that's available just for free.
Peacock TV in Mexico comes up. Peacock Stream TV and Movies Online. Is that what I want?
I think so, yep. Yeah. You'll need to sign up for an account. It's real easy. I did it earlier while we were in meeting, just right here on the fly.
Email and a password to sign up.
Yeah. And you immediately get access. And the question really is, will it work? Smart DNS Proxy has it on their list of supported services.
All right, so open that up. You guys are going to have to walk me through this. You know I'm computer illiterate. Okay, start. No, it's free, no credit card required. Start watching now. Sign in.
That's
okay,
it.
I have to create an account. So this will only work with a VPN or smart DNS, is that?
Because it's a U.S. offering right now.
Okay, let's see what happens.
I was able to get into it using a VPN with Opera. I'll bring that up on my screen right now. And it should give you a catalog of content.
Okay, I'm joining.
Oh, my experience is horrible over here. I'm giving up on it. I'm going back to the meeting with you guys.
The 10-digit password, by the way.
It changes it?
No, it's 10 digits unless you use...
Oh, yeah, that just came up because I didn't put in enough.
On the password thing, I got to say, I'm still using LastPass, very happy, and when it came to the password this morning to set it up, mm-hmm. I just pressed a button on LastPass and it filled it out with some garbage. And away I went. It saved the garbage, so I don't have to worry about it. If I actually need it, I can go into the LastPass database and pull out the garbage. But it was just threw at it a bunch of random characters and said, that's the password, and then saved it.
Okay, start watching. What do you want me to search?
Just watch anything. We want to see it work.
Today's show.
Today's show.
But you're looking for Poldark, right?
No. Oh,
well, that's okay. A different thing.
No. All right. I don't see a place to search anywhere. So how am I going to do this? Okay, I'll just pull up one daily news today. See
anything,
what happens.
Yeah. It should have like a presentation like Amazon does or Netflix does. And just click on anything and see if it'll play.
Should have all the movies blocked out and all the TV shows in block. Does it?
Start watching. Okay, let's see what happens.
Why am I having a rendering lag on my system here? I'm not doing anything new.
Okay. Come on. Channels, to browse channels. Let's see what comes up there.
No, it should be shows.
TV shows?
Yeah.
Okay. Clicked on that. Let's see what comes up. Oh, here's an X-rated.
No.
Dateline, George Lopez, no.
Yeah,
World of Dance. You'd love that, wouldn't you?
There you go.
Can you guide my screen?
You could click the presentation button at the bottom of your Hangout.
I'm opening Saturday Night Live. Let's see what happens.
If you want us to see.
Can you see me?
Yes.
We can see you.
Okay. I'm waiting for it to open. I clicked on Saturday Night Live.
So it's very slow.
Are you having internet issues in your place?
Nothing. nothing more than unusual.
Okay.
Just typical. Okay, Saturday Night Live. Let's try. Here's an episode. Open it up.
What did you end up deciding with the Telcel hotspot you were considering?
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
I'm saving. I've got all the information. I went through that line, did the whole thing in Spanish, went back to the door and said, I need somebody who speaks English.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to wait 15 more minutes, but I got someone who spoke English and I understood about 80% of what I had been told.
Oh, good.
And so I just decided to wait. Okay, season 23, episode 1, and maybe it is opening. Peacock TV, huh? So I can download this on my Fire Stick, right?
You don't need to do that.
Well,
it's a page.
Right, but you would download it into your Fire Stick so you could do it on your TV.
Right. Can I never watch movies on my computer? It's trying to load the best of John Belushi. But John
Come
Belushi,
on.
He was funny. Let's see what's happening. Please disable your ad blocker. Oh, I have to disable my ad blocker. Can you hear this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're listening to you.
Can you hear the?
No, I can.
You can't hear.
I can hear the.
You hear it in the background?
Is it playing?
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is. It wants me to disable my ad blocker. I'm not going to do that right now. But
sure. But so you're using Smart DNS proxy and you're watching a TV show off of Peacock TV.
Good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Audio English. Yeah. Here's John Belushi in all his glory.
And
I can't hear it. Oh, I can't hear it because I have the headset on, maybe. Let me see. No.
Oh, I would think it would be the same audio.
You'd think. Good.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it's...
Yeah, I can hear it. Yeah.
So that you saw, that's a huge catalog of
it.
Stuff.
It's buffering. A little bit, but that's working. So that's Saturday Night Live. Let's turn that off and see what else is available.
That's pretty awesome.
It's at the homepage, if I can get back to it, it's got channels, featured TV shows, movies, kids, news, sports, and Latino.
Great.
Anything you in particular you want me to search? I finally found the search button.
No, it's just great to know that it's working off of using this smart DNS proxy that we all have so much experience with.
In the state.
Okay, well, there you are. Let me see if I can figure out how to show it to you guys.
Go ahead,
Chester.
How
would I display it for you?
Oh, if you want to show it to us, Maggie, you should use the present now. If you're looking at my screen, I've got Chester up right now. But if I hover down to the bottom of the screen, there's a present now button. And you can present your screen, and we can all take a look at it.
A window or my entire screen?
The entire screen's probably, if you get into Windows, you're going to have to choose a window. If you do your entire screen, then everything on your screen is going to pop up.
Okay, guys, I have to go, so see you next week.
Judy, thank you for being with us each week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Anyway, it seems to be working, and I have to go because somebody wants to buy some dollars from me. So,
all right, Maggie, thank you for the test. That's great.
Hopefully see you guys next week.
We will. I'll be here.
Bye.
Okay. Can I show real quick? You were talking about podcasts.
Yes.
If you can see this.
Oh, I started listening to that. That was really good.
Linda might really enjoy this, as many of you. We had our Senator Nick Begich and House Leader Cale Boggs go down. And this is a research guy who is looking for as many, he gives you things to look for. He's looking for different interviews that have been made that nobody can find, letters, different things like that. Plus, he tells a pretty full story of all the stuff he knows. It's fascinating listening, I think. So I'm offering that as an Alaskan experience
even though you may not know these guys, it's still a huge experience as what happened to them.
Well, and it directly affects U.S. politics, because who was it that took over after he died?
After Begich died? Yeah. He was a congressman. I'm sorry, he wasn't a senator. That's how we've got the 80-some-year-old guy that we think is going to go this time. Don Young.
Is that the old plane for you?
I didn't hear, Linda.
Is that the old plane for
you? I'm sorry, Linda, you're breaking up real bad.
Is that the old plane crash?
The old plane crash.
Yes. Yes, it is a plane crash. It was a Cessna 250, I think, and they were flying from Anchorage to Juneau. Never have been seen. This was back in 72.
Right.
I think millions of dollars have been spent by the state as well as the federal government trying to find them.
What I found really interesting about it is that he does a really good job of sticking with the facts.
Yes.
And there's mm-hmm. a lot of conspiracy theories over these two politicians dying together in a plane crash that have been around for years. And they can immediately be dismissed because of his working really hard to cover only factual information. So he's able to... I'm sorry, were you going to say something, Mom?
I didn't mean to interrupt, Scott. Go ahead, finish your point.
Oh, no, that was my whole point. Is just that...
I interrupted you again.
No, go ahead,
This goes all over the United States, what he's able to track. There's information in New York. There's information in Texas. There's a whole bunch of killings in Arizona that one of the characters, that a real person that he has been really working through, who married Peggy Begich. I didn't know that for about 2 years, right after Nick died. And he's quite a colorful character who winds up killing people. So we have that story going on at the same time to kind of make a more full picture.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, that podcast gets into a lot of the underworld of Anchorage at the time, too.
Yes, he brings that all out. All of the mafia activities. We were here. It was an amazing time.
I remember some of those people he talks about, and one of the sketchier people he talks about was involved in scouting in Anchorage.
I haven't gotten that far. Oh, boy.
Sid, have you been following the broadcast?
I'm really mad about this podcast.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
The Begich family's really mad about this podcast.
You think?
Oh, I can't figure out why. Yeah, they're refusing to, you know, give any help.
They are.
It's the way it sounds.
Oh, yeah.
Well, very interesting Alaskan history that actually affects U.S. politics.
Well, the original conspiracy theory was Senator Boggs. He was going after everybody about the Kennedy assassination. He's on the Warren Commission, and that's what the original conspiracy theory was. The plane went down because they were trying to get rid of him.
And this one really colorful character that married Peggy Begich, he talked about carrying a suitcase up and giving it to one of the mafia people. And he's suspecting, he didn't look inside the suitcase, but it was the proper size. He's suspecting there was a bomb in it. So now they're trying to figure out how that bomb would have gotten on the plane and how it would have been timed at a right time to go off. So we would never be able to find it. So it's kind of strange.
Well, if it's a Cessna in Alaska, it's not hard to imagine in the 70s how a random suitcase could end up on it.
Well, right, with all that was going on.
Yeah.
See you guys next week. Bye, all.
Hey, all right, Stanley. Bye. Stanley, did you get your phone sorted out? You sent me a message saying that you did something different. Are you still there? I think we lost him.
Yeah, I'm still there.
Oh, okay.
I'm using Bigsby, believe it or not, to use the contacts through them, and I can call out.
Okay, excellent. I'm glad it's working.
Partially. Talk to you later. Bye.
Later, Stanley.
Bye, Stanley.
Oh,
I have a question.
Sure, Chester. What you got?
Yeah, this discussion on Peacock, NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Can we find that on a smart TV in the States?
In some. Linda, you were talking about a Samsung. Did you find it on a Samsung?
No. If you do it on Samsung, you're going to have to do it through the internet browser.
Well, I also have a TV. I have the Samsung, but I also have a Roku TV.
No, not on Roku.
Chester, the Roku story right now is really aggressive because they are in deep negotiations with HBO and Peacock for their apps. They feel like they have such a strong market share that they have a bargaining position. So it's the first time in Roku's history that they are not a neutral platform. They're an aggressive platform using their market share to determine what those – and right now they've come to no resolution. So HBO and Peacock are not available on Roku right now. I think there's a couple others too.
So, Chester, so try the internet browser and just go to peacock.tv and see if you can pick it up.
Yeah, on the Samsung, you would use an internet browser. On the Roku, you would use Miracasting. You would use a device like your laptop or a tablet, and you would cast it over to your Roku. So your Roku would just be a go-between, and everything would be happening on your device.
Well, you could do that on Samsung, too.
Sure. But you've got the web browser built into the Samsung. That's probably a better way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you are – yeah. Options. What's the best option? You also could plug an iPhone in. You could do it on your iPhone and plug it in through an HDMI adapter or an iPad. You could connect your laptop with an HDMI cable and run it off your laptop up to your TV set. A Fire Stick, they've got no grievances. They're happy to have the app on there, so you can download it on the Fire Stick. Google Play Store, you should be able to find it in there.
Well, with my laptop, which I don't use often, my laptop has an HDMI connection that I can go to the Samsung with.
Yeah. So you could use that. I mean, that's a real ideal way to do it because you don't get caught up in the minutiae of wireless problems casting to your device. Things should work in a perfect world, but it's not a perfect world. And so that's a real, real good catch-all. You've eliminated that as being a problem. After that, it's just availability on your laptop because it's just putting it out to a screen.
Right.
Well, that's great. I've enjoyed all our topics today.
Yeah, we've had some good topics.
I think so, too. All right, I'm going to say again, Chester.
I'm sorry. The club has made a transfer over the years from a purely computer to video and computers.
Yeah, well, you know, we always joked in Tequila's that we're more a TV club at times.
Right.
But we are here to help each other, and if you guys are having problems with anything, I'd like you to share them with us. We'll be back again next Saturday. Formal meeting starts at 9 a.m. Arizona time. But I'm typically online and testing around 8 o'clock, so you're welcome to join the meeting early if you'd like. I had the pleasure of Paul's company while I was testing connections this morning. Linda jumped in early too, I think. Sometimes our discussion is determined by whatever we're talking about off the cuff before we press the go button. Anyway, I'm happy to see you guys each week, and I already can't wait till next Saturday. Until next time, let's tech on. And I'm Scott, and if you guys need help anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me. Scott@internationalcs.net is my email, or check out the website, internationalcs.net. If you're interested in any of these meetings, I keep a blog at sccclub.org. You guys are welcome. You'll find things from today sitting there by this afternoon or this evening, depending on how much work I can get done in the next few hours. Is there any last-minute messages I need to hear or any of us need to hear?
I just want to say hi to Jim Cunningham. Turn on your audio.
Hey, Jim, we're happy to have you with us. That's awesome.
Turn on your microphone, Jim.
Your mic's muted, but it doesn't look like he wants to talk to us.
Oh, I guess not. Antisocial.
Or did he just freeze?
He is frozen.
He's frozen.
Maybe he's driving. It looks like he's in his motorhome.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he can't give it much attention because he's driving down the road.
I don't know.
Hey, Scott?
Yeah, Fred.
On that last series of things that went through, I could hear you. I could hear Linda. I couldn't hear anybody else. I couldn't hear your mom.
I could see lips moving,
but I couldn't hear them.
I can't imagine what that's all about.
I wanted to hear about that thing you're talking.
I don't have any control. Yeah, I don't have any control over mom being heard by you or Linda being heard by you. The best I can do is not bleed, cause an echo because of what I'm doing on my end. But I can't control those volumes in any way. It's really strange that you would have that experience. But, Fred, it's very good to see you. I hope you keep coming back to our meetings because I don't know. Are you coming back to San Carlos? You're muted.
I plan to.
You don't plan to?
I do plan to.
Okay.
I'm not.
Hey, if it helps you sort out what's going on your end, you're coming through. Your video's coming through first, and then the audio's coming through. Is everybody else having that experience?
Yes.
So you've got a delay in your system for some reason.
Okay. I'll look and see what I can do.
We're watching your lips move and then waiting for your voice to catch up.
Okay.
And Jim's back.
Yeah.
We can't hear you because you're muted still. But he can hear us. I can tell he's trying to talk to us.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
I'm back.
Yes. Well, we're just all signing off, but it's good to see you, Jim.
Bye, Jim.
Good to see you guys. I was late getting in, but it was fun to watch anyway.
Well, we'll see you next Saturday, I hope. Are you driving right now?
No, actually, we are parked, but we've been roaming through Colorado and the Colorado wildfires for the last 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. Oh, did we just lose you? I think we just lost him.
What if it was an off snap? I've had 4.
That's why I've been gone.
Okay. I think you might be stuck with some bandwidth constraints right now, Jim. Your performance is up and down. Well, this may be a good time to call this meeting to an end. I'll talk to you guys next Saturday at 9. Until then, tech on.
Okay, guys.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye.